Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will begin his teaching series on the book of Titus with the man Titus. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. Today we are beginning a study of the book of Titus. But before we start into the book of Titus in the Bible, first we're going to give an introduction and talk about the man Titus. So while we will be studying the book Titus, today we're studying the man Titus. Now, when it comes to the man Titus, we probably know far more about Timothy than we do about Titus. And there are reasons for this, and of course one reason is that there are two books of Timothy, and they're longer. Titus has three chapters, whereas 1 Timothy has six, and 2 Timothy has four, so that's 10 chapters versus three. But then there's also the fact that we read about Timothy in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16, where Paul circumcises Timothy, makes him one of his followers, and we see some of his various activities in joining Paul and Paul sending him on missions in the book of Acts, whereas Titus is never mentioned in the book of Acts. And in fact, when I hear people teaching from the book of Titus, often I'll hear them mess up to various Bible speakers, and they'll say, here we read that Paul says to Timothy, when of course really what they meant is here Paul says to Titus. But they're so much more used to saying Timothy than Titus that they mess it up, and I've probably done that myself a time or two. Yet the fact is that Titus is an important biblical character, and we can find out some things about Titus, just not from the book of Acts, but from some of Paul's other books. We can learn about Titus the man. Now, first of all, in asking who was Titus, let's look at the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul is talking about his former ministry. He's giving his own historical record of it, kind of like Luke does in Acts. He says in Galatians 1:13, for you have heard of my former conduct. And that word former there is actually the Greek word pote. My conduct at some time or other, like we talked about in Ephesians. My former conduct in Judaism. How I persecuted the church, the ecclesia of God, beyond measure, and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, the nations, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. We read about that, of course, in Acts chapter 9, where Paul first went to Jerusalem. It says, and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God I do not lie. Now people were accusing Paul of getting his gospel from the other apostles and then getting it wrong. But Paul is arguing here that he got it from the Lord directly. So of course he didn't get it wrong. Verse 21, afterward I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And if you follow it out in Acts, he left Jerusalem and he went back home to Tarsus. And Tarsus is in Cilicia, which is north of Syria. And then Barnabas wanted Paul to be with him, so he went to Tarsus, got Paul, and brought him back to Antioch, which is in Syria. So that's what he's talking about here, Syria and Cilicia. Verse 22, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me. Now, I don't think this is 14 years after he went to Syria and Cilicia. This is actually 14 years after his conversion. So he spent 3 years in Arabia and Damascus, and then 11 years in Syria and Cilicia. And then 14 years after his conversion, he went to Jerusalem. He went with Barnabas, and he took Titus with him. Now, this particular journey, I believe, is the one that we read about in Acts chapter 11. starting in verse 27, Paul's second trip to Jerusalem, where Paul says, Acts 11:27, "And in these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." So we see that this prophet Agabus comes to Antioch where Paul is, and he prophesies that there's going to be a great famine through all the world. And the believers there in Antioch, they realize that's going to be particularly hard on the followers in Judea. Now, that the Lord had established it while he was on earth and while his followers were all together, that they all had one common purse. They all gave their money into a common purse. Now, at first, while the Lord was on earth, that purse was held by Judas, their treasurer. And we read that he was skimming off the top. He was embezzling some of the money for himself. But after the Lord left, after he returned to heaven and left his believers, in the book of Acts, we see that those believers in Judea, they continued to do the same thing, even as their numbers grew from a few hundred to thousands. We read about in Acts chapter 4 and so forth, we read about those who had possessions, those who had investments, they went and sold them. And they brought the money to the apostles, and they had a common purse. Well, the problem is, you do that for a while, and then everybody who has investments has sold them all. And then where's the money going to come from? Everybody's poor in the group, and the people who are wealthy have sold all their investments. What's left? Well, then this famine comes along. And the believers in Antioch realize that's going to be bad for the believers in Judea. Well, then the way the Lord takes care of them, he hasn't forgotten about them, is he has the believers throughout the world send money to the believers in Judea so they can continue in one community with one purse. And so Paul and Barnabas are chosen to carry that money to Jerusalem. And they took Titus with them when they did that. However, we read that they didn't just go to take the money. Verse 2, he says, in Galatians 2, he says, "And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I proclaim among the nations, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain." So he says, I wanted to be sure I had this gospel right, and so I presented it to them to make sure I wasn't wasting my time. But to prove that Paul had it right, verse 3, he says, "Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." So he says, Titus was with me, he wasn't circumcised, and yet the apostles in Jerusalem, they didn't compel him to be circumcised. So Titus is called a Greek and said to be uncircumcised. Now, where did he likely come from? Well, back in Acts 11 again, we can read where he probably came from. It says, "But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." Now, here we read of those who came to Antioch and preached to Hellenists. Now, there is a manuscript difference here on whether this word is Hellenists or Hellenized Jews, meaning Jews who could no longer speak Hebrew or the native language of the Jews, but spoke only Greek, or whether the word is Hellenes. And Hellenes is a word, it's based on Helen, the legendary founder of Greece, and it means a Greek, but it seems to have been largely used for those who were Greek culturally. That is, they lived the Greek lifestyle. The Greeks had a certain way of living, a certain way of setting up a city, a certain way of setting up their culture that was highly respected in the Roman Empire. And both the Greek Empire before it and the Roman Empire sort of spread the Greek culture throughout the world. Now, there was constant pressure on the Jews, especially the Jews outside the land, but even somewhat on the Jews inside the land. There was pressure for them to give up their Jewish culture, their Jewish heritage, and to live like everyone else around them, to live the Greek culture. And so while Greeks could certainly refer to Gentiles, because the vast majority of the Gentiles, of course, lived like Greeks at the time, it could also refer to Jews who had given up on their Jewish culture, their Jewish lifestyle, and were living like the Greeks. And I think it's pretty clear in the Bible, sometimes the word Greeks means Gentiles, probably, but sometimes it means Jews who lived like Greeks. And Titus, we know that he was not circumcised, and he was probably one of these Greeks who believed in Antioch, probably a Jew who had given up on his Jewish culture and heritage and was living like a Greek, was uncircumcised, and was not keeping the law. And yet when proclaimers of Christ came to Antioch, proclaimed Christ to those who were there Titus had believed. Now, if we would continue to follow the career of Titus, while Paul was in Ephesus, in Acts 19:10 tells us he was there for 2 years, apparently from Ephesus he wrote 1 Corinthians. He wrote it to Corinth back in Greece. And he apparently sent Titus ahead of him to Corinth. He was planning to go to Corinth eventually, but he sent Titus to Corinth, perhaps with the book of 1 Corinthians. Eventually, however, he left Ephesus, and apparently he wasn't planning for Titus to stay in Corinth, but was planning for him to come and rejoin him. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we read this. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:12, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed from Macedonia." So Paul, when he left Ephesus, started traveling around again after his 2 years in Ephesus. He came to Troas. He was preaching the gospel there. He was having success, but his spirit was troubled. He had no rest in his mind and heart because he didn't find Titus's brother there. He was expecting Titus to join him, and he didn't. So he left Troas and headed for Macedonia, which was the land north of Achaia where Corinth was. And from Macedonia, he could have traveled down into Achaia and where Corinth was. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5, Paul says, "For indeed when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more." So Paul was unhappy at Troas because he didn't find Titus there. When he came to Macedonia, he says, "We had no rest while we were there. We were troubled on every side. And there were conflicts from outside the believers. And there were fears from inside among the believers. But then, God, who comforts the downcast, he gave us comfort." And what was that comfort? That comfort was Titus finally coming to us again. And not just his coming, but he had a good report. A good report to Paul of what was going on in Corinth. And Paul was excited about that good report. Now, Corinth was not problem-free. If we see 1 Corinthians, there were many problems when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to the Corinthians. And they, it seems, were pretty far off on many things. Now, 2 Corinthians is a much different letter. It's a much calmer letter. Paul is much less upset with them, although there are still issues in Corinth. Yet he is apparently much comforted about how the Corinthians are doing compared to when he wrote 1 Corinthians. And that comfort came from the report of Titus, after which he wrote 2 Corinthians. So then in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13, he says, "Therefore we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit had been refreshed by you all." So he says, Titus had joy and refreshment by you. So that made us rejoice more because of how excited Titus was about you. Verse 14, "For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I am not ashamed. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true." Now this is something else. When we consider 1 Corinthians and all the things that were wrong in Corinth, and all the bad things that Paul had to say about their conduct and behavior, that nevertheless he says he had boasted to Titus, who hadn't met the Corinthians, he had boasted to Titus about them. Well, that shows that in spite of the problems, he thought highly of these Corinthians. And he says, "When he came to you, he found my boasting to be true. Just like I always told you the truth, I told him the truth, and he found it to be true." Verse 15, "And his affections are greater for you, as he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him." So again, Titus had a good report of the Corinthians. They had received Titus properly as God's messenger and with fear and trembling. And that's how they should have received God's messenger. So that comforted Titus and comforted Paul as well, their obedience. Now in 2 Corinthians 8:6, he mentions Titus again. He says, "So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well." So clearly, Paul is sending Titus back to Corinth, and he's sending him to complete a grace in them. Well, what in the world is he talking about? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 8:16, where Paul says, "But thanks be to God, who puts the same earnest care into the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord." So he said, we had exhorted Titus to do this job, to perform this grace, and he had accepted this difficult job. Now, what was the difficult job he had accepted? Well, I believe he was going to collect money from the Corinthians. Now, Corinth was a very wealthy city, and therefore, it seems that they were very suspicious of traveling preachers or traveling teachers who came to them and then wanted to collect money from them, because they figured, well, this person might be just wanting to enrich himself. But the thing was, it had come time to help the believers in Judea again. I mean, they were still all together. They still had one common purse. They still had sold all their investments, or the rich among them, and sold all their investments. So they still needed help. And Paul was sending Titus to collect money that the Corinthians had promised to give to the believers in Judea. And this was a difficult job, but Titus had accepted it, had accepted this collection of their grace toward their brothers in Judea. Now, they might be wondering about Titus. Is Titus qualified to take this large sum of money and be trusted with it? He's going to be traveling with it over a long distance with a large sum of money. And, of course, like Judas, he could easily embezzle some for himself. How do we know he'll be honest? But he says in 2 Corinthians 8:23, "If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about," it seems the others who are going with Titus, "they are messengers of the ecclesias, the glory of Christ." So Paul has high words of praise for Titus here in setting forth his credentials. And so he's letting the Corinthians know, yes, he can be trusted with this collection of money. And then finally, in 2 Corinthians 12:17, he mentions Titus one last time. He says, "Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him." And I think their brother is the same as in 2 Corinthians 1:1, where the authors are listed, it says, "Paul and Timothy, brother." So I think the brother here is Timothy. He sent Titus and Timothy to the Corinthians. So he says, "Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps?" So he appeals to Titus' conduct among the Corinthians to prove that he had never tried to take advantage of the Corinthians, because he says, "Titus didn't try to take advantage of you, and he was sent on a mission from me. And I didn't try to take advantage of you either." Well, that shows Paul's confidence in Titus, that Titus had treated the Corinthians just like Paul would have, and just like he would have wanted him to. Now, besides the books of Galatians and 2 Corinthians, which talk about Titus, of course, we have the book of Titus itself, from which we can learn about what happened to Titus next. Now, between 2 Corinthians and Titus, of course, Paul had been arrested in Jerusalem and carried to Rome and spent his 2 years in his own hired house in Rome, and then apparently had left Rome and started to travel around again post-Acts. And in Titus chapter 1 and verses 4 through 5, we learn that one of the places he had traveled to post-Acts was the island of Crete. He says in Titus 1:4, "To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." So Paul says to Titus here, "We came to Crete together, but I had to leave, and so I left you behind in Crete, because I wanted you to finish the work that I didn't get to finish there and appoint elders and straighten out the problems." So like in Corinth, there are things that are lacking in Crete, and Paul left Titus to take care of those things. So Titus almost appears to kind of be Paul's troubleshooter. He sends him to trouble spots, relieves him in trouble spots in order to work out the problems. So again, clearly we see that Paul had a lot of confidence in Titus. Then in Titus 3:12, Paul says to him, "When I send Artemas to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there." So he says, "I'm going to be sending somebody to relieve you, Titus, somebody to replace you as the leader there in Crete, either Artemas or Tychicus, I haven't decided which. And when they come to you, well, you leave there in Crete and you come and rejoin me at Nicopolis. That's where I'm going to be spending the winter. So, without any information to the contrary, we believe that that's what Titus did. He had left Crete and come rejoin Paul at Nicopolis. Now, the last book we read about Titus in, and the last we hear of him, is 2 Timothy, which I believe was Paul's last book written and the last book written of Scripture. In 2 Timothy 4:10, we read of Titus again, where he says, Paul says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia." Well, here we see the sad record that some of Paul's entourage, some of his group, some of his helpers and assistants were abandoning him at the end. And he lists particularly Demas, a man who self-sacrificially loved this present world and was willing to give up all he had with God and all he had with Paul for the sake of the world. And yet right there in that list with Demas, it lists Crescens and Titus. Now, there's a couple things I can say about this. One is that it doesn't say that Titus forsook Paul, having loved this present world. It doesn't say that. So we shouldn't go that far. But at the same time, he lists Crescens and Titus in the same list as Demas. And I have trouble believing that Paul would have done that if Titus had left Paul by Paul's orders and still in good relationship with Paul. No, it sadly seems that Titus had left Paul in the end. And we don't know why. It doesn't say he loved this present world. Maybe he got mad at Paul about something. Maybe he got sick of working with Paul. Maybe so many people were abandoning Paul that he decided it was useless to keep going and had just left. Who knows? But sadly, it would appear that Titus, for all Paul's confidence in him, didn't stick with Paul at the end. Well, finally, let's consider how the book of Titus fits into Paul's personal letters. We've already studied Paul's personal letter of Philemon. Of course, this is another one of Paul's personal letters. That is, letters Paul wrote to one single person rather than to groups of people like his other letters are. And in Paul's personal letters start out with 1 Timothy, which is about organization and instructions to a leader, that is Timothy, and for choosing leaders. And Paul's next personal letter in order in our Bibles is 2 Timothy, which is about what to do when the organization fails. And that is discipleship and passing on the truth from one person to the next, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:2. Then we have Titus, which again is about organization and his instructions to a leader and for choosing leaders. We see that throughout Titus. And then finally, Philemon, the book we already studied, which is what to do when relationships among believers fail. And in that case, what to do is forgiveness and accepting our fellow believers in spite of wrongs done against us. In other words, showing grace to each other as God shows grace to us. And we talked about that when we studied Philemon, that it's really a practical illustration of Ephesians 4:32, that we should deal graciously with each other as God deals graciously with us. So the book of Titus is the third of Paul's personal letters, and again, it's about organization and instructions to a leader and for choosing leaders, just like 1 Timothy. So in conclusion, the man Titus was a close companion of Paul, and he had been with Paul from before even his call to ministry in Acts 13. He was one in whom Paul had great confidence, and he appears to have even been kind of a troubleshooter, whom Paul would send to difficult spots like Corinth and Crete. Yet for all Paul's confidence in him, sadly in the end it appears that Titus left Paul, along with others of his entourage. Well, may we learn from Titus, may we be like Titus as he was in his early life and when he was following Paul. But may we endure to the end, like Luke and others did, and not leave Paul, like sadly Titus did. So that's the man Titus, and in our next lesson we will get into Titus the book, and study the book of Titus together.
Titus, this longtime and trusted companion to the Apostle Paul, was a faithful servant to God during the Acts period, yet sadly it seems in the end he was unable to endure and move forward in the things God had for him next. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on the man Titus. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the book of Titus with God and Time. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that the more you study God's Word, the more you know God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also send out a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on this mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although your donations are always appreciated, you will not be solicited for funds in any way when you write, so feel free to contact us. I'm your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now, but we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.